Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Daryl Urbanski, your host, as always. And today we are joined by Julie Baranek, founder of SevenFigurePodcastBuilder.com and host of the Seven Figure Builder Show. She's a visionary entrepreneur dedicated to helping high-level entrepreneurs amplify their impact and earnings through podcasts. With a unique background in registered nursing from Reading Area Community College, Julie has evolved into a global lead generation expert and digital marketing maven. Her journey includes roles at Hex Aware Technologies, IQVIA, and Project Management Institute, where she honed her skills in digital customer engagement marketing and project management. Julie's innovative approach focuses on empowering entrepreneurs to generate substantial revenue from their podcasts without relying on ads, sponsorships, or a large following, making her a sought-after strategist in the podcasting realm. I've asked Julie to join us here today to share her story and help us all grow our audiences better. So Julie, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Daryl. Thank you. I'm excited to be here today.
Yeah, and it's an honor and a pleasure to have you on your show. Obviously, I've got vested interest in this considering I have a podcast. And I was looking at my bank account the other day and I didn't have as many millions in there as I wanted. But that aside, before we even get into any of that, how did you get into this? Obviously, you were nursing first. Now you're in helping grow businesses. Is this were your parents entrepreneurs? Is this something? What's the connection? How?
That's a great question. And it was definitely a winding path, as you can allude to there. So yeah, I started my career as a registered nurse. I came out of high school, went into nursing school, and I was a high-risk labor and delivery nurse. And I did that for actually about 11 years, but a couple years in, I was very techie, creative, and I started doing web design on the side. I had somebody come to me and ask me to do web design. I'm like, sure, I can figure this out. And so I started doing that on the side. I then started a business and I was a nurse on the weekends. I ran my business during the week and did that portion of it for actually about 8 years. And then life took its toll. I needed some more stability. I didn't want to work full-time as a nurse, full-time day shift as a nurse, which is what I needed to do. So I ended up making a shift entirely into the IT marketing world, because by that point I had taught myself enough, learned enough through the years that I made that switch over to the corporate world and made my way up the ranks in the corporate world into IT consulting and marketing and helping Fortune 500s around the world in their systems automation. That's just where my specialty lies. And along the path, I came across podcasting. Actually, it was the beginning of last year that I started my podcast. I thought, let me give this thing a try, and fell in love with it. And since have built out an entire automated system, because as I'm sure you fell head over heels into your own podcast, you need a system to be the foundation for it. So I was really struggling. And so I dove head first in, built out a system. And that's where I have the Seven Figure Podcast Builder. And I help podcasters using my expertise with Fortune 500s. I now use that for good, helping podcasters to grow their business.
And is any of this, what did your parents do? Were your parents in business at all? Is your parents computer geeks?
That's a great question. So my dad, he was an engineer and had his own business. And then he actually left the engineering world and he went into the ministry to be in a church. And he did that for almost 30 years now. So I would say there was always an entrepreneurial side in my family. And so I started my whole computer world when I was about 12 years old and I was working for my dad with his business and helping him do computer processing on the old computers. I'm dating myself. Hacking the computers as a young kid and trying to get around all the parental things that my parents tried to put in. You don't have to go there. It started at a young age, we'll say.
I remember that. We had a black and white Mac, and CompuServe had this internet service thing, and it had little avatars. You'd have a little avatar that would walk around. And I remember I signed up for the trial, but you needed a credit card. And I was like, that's free. And I just need a credit card. So I went to my dad's wallet and I took his credit card and signed up for it. And I just remember 2 months later, my dad being like, $1,000 on the phone. I apparently spent a lot of time trying to hack CompuServe. Hey, lessons learned, kids, right? They'll do the dark. So thank you for sharing the path. It sounds like a great journey. I imagine there were probably, it's a very diverse background, heavily vested in serving people, which I think is really what business is all about. What were some of the biggest challenges. You talk about, first off, having to run a side business for 8 years while you had a full-time job. That's probably relatively stressful. I know there's a lot of people there, they're working in a full-time job and part-time on their fortune, as Jim Rohn used to say. Can you speak to that a little bit? Maybe when you took the jump, is it because you had done it for 8 years that it gave you the feeling that you could make the jump? When did you know it was time? Was it never the right time? And at some point you just had to just commit, or?
A combination of all the above. I would say the hardest part in all of it was sleep deprivation. I worked a night shift when my kids were young. And so as a nurse, I worked night shift. I'd come home. I had young kids at home. I would be home with them during the week. So that's where I ran my business at home during the week. My oldest wouldn't nap. So I would go about 60 hours when he was little. We were talking before we hopped on about fasting. Right. I would fast sleep. So that was, I would say, the hardest part of it all. But as I went through my career and I was doing the nursing and then doing my business and thinking about going full time, truly it was life that kind of hit me in the face. I was going through a divorce, going through some hard times. And I'm like, I need more stability. Like I need to be able to provide for my kids. And so, you know, I thought about making that jump. And it's funny, I remember talking to my family about it and they thought I was crazy. Like flat out crazy. They're like, why are you leaving a stable job in nursing? He's going to need nurses. There's nothing more stable than that. And you're going to go do this? And I said, yeah. And I did. And I went from a nurse and self-taught in IT to working for eBay, actually, as a developer at eBay. That's where I started my corporate career. And then I rose up from there. But it was a big jump. It was scary. And I thought, I'm very driven, very motivated. Because like I said, I taught myself a ton and through my career, but you can do anything you put your mind to. And I'm a firm believer of that.
Yeah. What advice would you give if there's any single moms out there that are doing the same thing? They're trying to provide for their kids some sort of stability while having to juggle childcare. And then there's the uncertainty of where are my clients going to come from? What do you have any advice for anyone that maybe is either starting out or struggling in that situation?
Yeah, I would say to anybody listening, you can learn anything. You can teach yourself anything. Like at one point, when my kids were little, I wanted to take pictures of them. And my son was hard to try to get in there and sit still and get pictures. So I thought, this can't be rocket science. I can figure this out. And I had no clue what I was doing. But just this is an example of teaching yourself. I thought I can learn this. And so I went, as I was working as a nurse on night shift, I looked up photography colleges that had very good, prestigious photography curriculums, pulled up the curriculum, pulled up the books in the curriculum, ordered the books in the curriculum, and then read them and taught myself a college degree, essentially, yep. To where in that whole period I mentioned, I was also doing professional photography, doing weddings, doing portraits, doing equestrian. Like, you can do anything you put your mind to.
How would you recommend someone that's starting out or struggling go about trying to get their first clients? Any tips for that? How to just have that consistency?
Yeah, I would say I'm a big proponent of relationship-based lead generation. That's all the focus of what I do at this point and helping people learn that. So for those that are just starting out, I would say, look in your phone. You've got a million contacts in there. Start with the people, start with your previous contacts, look on your LinkedIn, reach out to those people, just start contacting people. I know it doesn't feel comfortable. And you just plan on having a whole bunch of no's until you get a yes. But eventually you'll get a yes, and then you'll get another yes, and they will come. You just have to stay focused and stay at it.
So what do you do? Are you just saying, hi, my name is, I want you to buy this thing?
Slim Shady, yes. Yeah, so reaching out to them saying, hey, I'm starting a business, or whatever the scenario is, but I'm starting a business and would love to get your thoughts. If there's anything that you know somebody that would need my services, would just love to build my network. And truly, it's about building relationships with people and just continuing to build that genuine, authentic relationship, because then it'll come around full circle. But yeah, just reaching out to people that, and either messaging them or sending an email or calling, to just start those conversations, and you never know where they're going to lead.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. One thing that I find, there's I forget who now, but he used to teach a three-tiered system where the first step was just saying, how to go? It was, hey, would you or anyone be interested in result? I'm helping these type of people get this result in this time frame, and I'm trying to connect with people that might be interested. Something like that. And the idea is the first step is to get hands raised. And it's just a small, short message like that. And then the second step is actually where you qualify. And I think you're supposed to have three, it's like matchmaking. Like, I want to go on a date with a guy, but he has to have this, this, and this. And one of those needs to be binary. Or if you're dating girls, like, I want to go on a date with a girl, but I want her to be this. So just because people raise their hand, often people get all excited and they go right into the pitch. And so the three separate tiers makes it easy. So the first is the hand raise. And then the second one is the just the conversation about, is this a match? And one of those, it helps if one of those is binary. I know I can get this result for people that blank, people that have at least 100 connections on LinkedIn or whatever that is. And then the third is a little bit of info about the what it is and what it'll do for them. Is that sort of the method that you teach people? How is yours different? Is there anything that you think, sorry, that, is that similar to your process?
It is. And there's multiple ways to do that. I would say if you're truly starting fresh, like you're starting a whole new thing, right? The best way is to give your services a way to start small scale, right? But get somebody to start working with and prove out that you can do what you say you can do. And then ask them for a testimonial. So do that a couple of times, and then you start getting paying clients because now you've got testimonials and people that will refer you to other people. I'm a big proponent of the podcasting world, of course, right? And doing genuine, authentic relationship building through podcasting. So that's a much higher level of when you're trying to grow and scale your business. But the first step in that is identifying your dream client. You need to know who it is that ultimately you're after. Who do you want to connect with and who can you actually help? So that's something that I take my clients through, and we do more of a deep dive of who is that dream client, that one person. Just think of that one person that once you've helped them, once you're growing your business, or the person would love to have 1,000 more of, that's the person that you want to connect with. And to what you mentioned, social media is another good one where you can put out requests. Like, actually, I did one today. Hey, I have this thing to teach you to monetize your podcast. Would you like to be an invite? And people raise their hand.
Yeah.
And they say, absolutely. So I have a web class that I'm teaching them exactly how to monetize their podcast with a small following, with that, without ads, without sponsorships. And it all comes back to that genuine, authentic relationship building with people. And building that connection with them. And before that, calling in your dream people. So knowing who your dream people are, inviting them to be on your show, connecting with them, building that relationship, and then it blossoms into something beautiful. And okay. I've done this. Go ahead.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just agreeing with you. I think it's
Yeah, and I've done this over and over again in my business, even from my first interview that I did on my podcast, literally interview number one, came back later as a high ticket client. So it may not happen immediately, but you're planting those seeds. And it's not a matter of, just so I'm clear, it's not having people on your podcast and giving them a sales pitch. That's not what this is.
Not at all.
We're clear. But it's building those relationships. And then they know what you do. In an hour, they've gone from complete stranger to know, like, love, trust, right? You're vulnerable with each other. Like, you're having genuine, authentic conversations. So then once they know what you do, then later on, either they'll say, I need your help now, or later they come back and say, hey, that thing that you were telling me about, I need that.
And to be very candid and fully transparent, I find that the podcast is a fantastic reason to even stay in touch. So again, not everything is a sales event, but everything is a relationship event. And so I have people that I stay in touch with because I did an interview with them in 2016. And we're like, hey, we just gave the page a fresh facelift. What do you think? They're just, hey, we've now gotten this many downloads. I still get downloads for interviews I did years ago. So I just find it's a fantastic, I'm not trying to sell other people to start podcasts and compete with me, but I think it's a fantastic use of time because lots of people can come and listen in on. When I first started my podcast, part of what started was a friend of mine. I'd helped a company do over $1 million. And I think at the time it was like 3, 4, 5 months, something like that. We ended up doing 1.6 million in under 8 months with a single online automated strategy, over 3 million with backend sales and all that as a whole. And I had a friend that said, Daryl, if I knew the people that you knew and I could hear the conversations that you were having with them, I would be doing better in my business too. And that was the original kind of motivation for me to start recording some of these conversations that I was having with people. And so for us to have like this, someone has a podcast, they're going to see the title. They're like, oh, I want to learn how to do better with my podcast. Or I've been thinking about starting a podcast. And this is time that you and I have spent and we've recorded it. And now we can be with our kids and someone can still jump in and get that knowledge. And a lot of the stuff that I talk with people, it's evergreen, it's timeless. Like relationships are going to be here. Even with AI, you're still going to have relationships with people at some level. I just think it's incredibly powerful, high leverage medium. So I love that so much. What do you think are the biggest mistakes that you see your clients or people making when it comes to their podcast? I'm gonna get my pen ready.
Nothing that you're doing. You're perfect.
No, I'm flawed. I'm so flawed in so many. But what are some of the biggest mistakes people making?
So I would say trying to do everything by hand. And that's the vast majority of podcasters. Like I've, in all transparency, as I've dove headfirst into this industry, I really feel like the podcast world, and this is no knock to anybody, feel like the podcast world is like 1990s internet. Like it's very crude and rudimentary. Do you know what I mean? And not, it's just that it's not as polished as it seems like most of the other world is online. Do you know what I'm saying? Am I the only one that sees that? Not yours in particular at all. I'm just saying
you can even make me cry. I believe in results. I've never had participation awards for anything in my life. But I get what you're saying. I showed a couple of my friends because there's all these like tools you can buy and stuff. I was like, oh, I hired a couple of programmers and we built all this. I don't have any real subscriber. I actually even left some of these podcast hosting platforms. I've left them because what I realized when I upload my podcast to them, they actually make a blog out of my show notes and that for themselves, but that competes with my blog for my show. So they're going to podcastplatform.daryl.com or daryl.podcastplatform.com. And I'm like, they're stealing all my Google traffic, yo. Like I'm building their business. So I've actually now taken it all onto my own WordPress site and I'm using my own RSS feed to register in the directories. So that way I am the center of my own universe. And so that's one thing. And the other thing is there's all these like AI tools that you can upload your interviews to and they'll probably, we built our own all in-house. So whatever people are paying $100 a month, I'm paying whatever, like the AI fees type thing. But so I understand what you're saying, but I have a bit of an advantage in that I've been online for a long time. In fact, I did my first online marketing campaign when I was 17. I didn't even know what I was doing.
Oh my goodness.
I was leaving. Actually, I turned 18. I was leaving. Sorry, this is a bit of a segue, but it's a story people might like hearing. I had traveled Canada. I did this government program called Katimavik. I got to spend 3 months in BC, 3 months in Alberta, 3 months in Quebec doing volunteer work. And I loved BC and I wanted to go back to BC. And I turned 18. I had finished. I had one more year of high school, I think, because I took a year off to do it. But I wanted to finish it in BC. So I went online. And again, this is the like dial-up internet days. I found like online classifieds. I called this lady. I rented a room in her house. My parents, I had $1,000 that I think I'd saved, that my parents had helped me save. I threw a couple of boxes on a bus, shipped it out west, and I just hit the highway with a piece of cardboard, and I hitchhiked to the West Coast to go start my new life there and go to school. But I needed to have work when I got there. So my very first online marketing campaign, I went to the local Chamber of Commerce website for Penticton, British Columbia, where I was going. And I scraped all the businesses' emails that were on that page. And I had a 4-email campaign. And the first was like, who I am and my cover letter and my resume. The second one was a PowerPoint presentation about why me versus anyone else. And the third one was like, final notice. And the fourth one was like a photo of me holding my sign. I'm on my way. And I actually lined up a couple of interviews before I got out there. I ended up working at one of those places. Yeah. That was and I'm like 17, 18 years old. I have a bit of an advantage in that. I've been online for a long time. But when you talk about, yes, I understand. I can be verbose. Sorry. That was my detailed short where, yes, I think in a lot of ways, people aren't necessarily making the most of the opportunity. Now, the good news is better to get going than, let's say, about books. The book you don't own, you can't read, and the book you don't read can't help you. The interviews you don't have, you can't do anything with. Yeah.
100%.
All right. Mistake number one, they're doing it all by hand. Mistake number two.
Mistake number two is not asking for help and asking the right people for help. And paying a fortune. Like, people are spending a fortune on their podcasts that they're paying teams, they're paying people to find them guests, they're paying to be on shows, they're paying editors, processors, the system. Like, it just goes on, and it's a biggest expense center for people. And you can actually flip that and have it be a revenue center for people when you're using it properly to build those relationships and target people properly and invite the right people on your show. So I would say, yeah, doing it manually, not asking for help, and not using it to grow your business, which is really powerful.
Not using it. So doing it all by hand, not asking for help, and not using it to grow your business. Can you speak to this? What does that mean?
So a lot of people do podcasts and they do a low volume of them, which is awesome because you want to be able to have one-on-one connections with people. But I take my people, I take my clients through a whole process. So just to spell it out what I'm trying to get to. So the first thing we do, like I said, is we figure out your dream clients. Who is it that you actually want to talk to, right? Then we make sure that your podcast is aligned to those dream people, right? So for me, my focus is 6 and 7 figure female entrepreneurs. That's just who I target. Everything I do is for those people. I help males, of course. I'm targeting females just because of background and everything else. So I make sure those things are aligned. I then reach out to those people. I have them onto my show and I invite my dream clients to be on my show. And this is a gap that I see that a lot of people miss, yes. Right? Is when you invite your dream clients to be a guest on your show, you then have the opportunity to build that relationship with them. Right? Versus just trying to grab them in the atmosphere when they're listening to you, which is awesome as well. But you have a direct connection with them. And people jump through hoops to be on podcasts. People love to be on podcasts. We're here, right? And people love to talk about themselves. So generally speaking, so when you invite them to a podcast, I'll just give you an example. When I first started mine, and this is how I got into the whole thing, I first started it with the intention of just creating content. Like, I just thought I can record myself, do some how-to videos. It'll be easy, right? Like, just something else that gives me content. And a friend of mine invited me to be on her show as the queen of automation, just for my whole Fortune 500 background. That's what I'm really good at. And I had a blast and I just fell in love with the format, like this interview format where you're just yourself and candid with each other. So I thought, I can do that. Let me put a post on Facebook. Put a post on Facebook and went to bed. I expected literally nothing. The next day, and had 86 people raise their hand and say they wanted to be on my show.
And you're like, all this time with 86 people. Yes.
And I'm like, what do I do with these people? I don't even, Facebook's going to shut me down if I message them all. So my brain is, and I realized at that moment, I stepped on something massive, right? I'm like, I didn't even know this whole world existed, but I just stepped on something huge. I ended up digging deep and built out, I looked for an automated system first and couldn't find it. And then, like you, I ended up building my own, right? And build it out of my need for podcasters, by podcasters, for podcasters, and build it out end to end, refined it, and then worked with my clients on it and got them ramped up to speed on it. And what it does is it automates that entire process. When people are booking, you want to get guests on your show, you have a very clean, sexy page that people can go in, fill out a form that is market research, right? Because we're calling our dream people in. So it's market research. You then have from there, it goes into an automated dashboard so you can see exactly where everybody is at every moment. And everything is automated after that. Personalized, right? It's not a machine, but it's automated. So I don't have to keep up with every single piece because I was dropping balls like crazy.
Right.
So I needed something that was going to help me to really connect with people to the level that I wanted it to.
I love that. So, all right. So step one, dream client. Step two, make sure the podcast align with the dream client. Step three, it sounds like focus on the relationship first and foremost. And then step four is, because I had a guest on my podcast. This was the first person that led me to that. I was like, And I still am. Like, I don't know if I have anything to sell you. I'm not really, but I do. Some of the people I do bring on my show are my dream potential clients, 100%. And I first got the idea from a past guest where we were setting up processing all this stuff. And hey, maybe we should do this for other people. And I remember reaching out to him. No, it was my wife now. She was writing books for podcasters using their interviews as some of the content for the book. And we reached out to one. He was like, why? And he was like, why? He's like, who's going to read my book? And I was like, your audience. He's like, I don't care if I have an audience. I was like, what? And I asked him, I said, Mitch, you've done like over 100 interviews or something like that. What do you mean you don't care about your audience? I don't care if nobody listens to the interview ever. The whole point is to get my prospects to sit down and have a conversation. And it's like what you mentioned. But again, I fully believe business is about helping people. So again, when we're talking here, you have to have, I think it's like what you said, do it for free in the beginning. If you have to prove that you can do it, that you can, because people want results, that you're comfortable with the service. The worst thing you can do is burn bridges, especially in today's transparent world, by offering things. And I always say roof and ramen. You want to make sure that you got ramen covered. So when you do business with clients, they get refunds or things like that, you can just do good business versus be in a scarcity mindset. So, all right.
Step four is after you do the podcast, I will very genuinely, and this, ask people, how can we best support each other? And that seems obvious, but it's not something that people ask enough. And what happens in that moment is a ton of opportunities come up. They go, nobody's ever asked me. We could do an Instagram Live. I have a summit coming up. You could be a speaker. Like I'm telling, like I did 140 podcast episodes last year. My first year of my podcast, 140. And I've done this over and over again. And it's amazing the opportunities that come out of that moment. And again, it's completely genuine. It's not anything else.
Yeah.
And at that point, often they say, I don't even know what you do. What is it that you do? And it's a very natural reciprocal relationship of you ask me what I do. Sure, let me share what I do. And do you know anybody that needs my help?
Yeah, I love this. I love this. I love this. I love this. So it just sounds so authentic.
And it is.
So and so genuine. I love it. So we talked about the biggest mistakes that they're making is that they're doing it all by themselves. They're not asking for help and they're not using it to grow their business. And now we've given them at least a rough outline for how to get started. What would you recommend or what would you say are some of the specific skills or behaviors that you think are important for people to develop as they go
through? The number one is active listening as I'm cutting you off.
I've been trying to not cut you off too. So no, we're good.
But active listening and not getting flustered by the answers. Going back to my beginning of my career, there's so much from my nursing world that I still carry with me today. And those two are probably the biggest thing where I remember the class in nursing school that I hated the most was called, absolutely hated it, was called therapeutic communication. I despise this class. I don't even know why, but it was like the instructor, it was just awful. But I use it every day for the rest of my life. I have used that class and what I learned. I use it in my podcast. I use it in my career. I use it to talk to awful doctors, to wonderful doctors, to everybody. And the other piece is out of the nursing world is at the end of the day, nobody died. So not letting yourself get flustered. And that sounds kind of morbid, but I used it all through my corporate career. We go on. Yes, it's serious, but it's okay.
My daughter all the time. The dog jumped on me. Oh, did you die? No. Right. Okay, we're good. All right, let's put a Band-Aid on it. Yeah, no, I'm good. Yeah. So you said listening, and then what was it? Therapeutic communication? What was the...
Yeah, the premise of that was really the active listening, is learning to hear what people are saying, respond back, like acknowledging what they're saying, just active communication with each other, which is a big part of podcasting. We're totally freewheeling this. Like there's no script.
Yeah.
So we play off each other and it's listening to what you're saying, feeding off of what I'm saying, right? It's that active communication back and forth, I think is so important.
With distractions turned off, no notifications, phone put away, all that stuff, which is crazy because often I've organized a mastermind lunch. So one of the things that I do now is actually with some of the guests, at least geographically able to put together a mastermind lunch. We meet, put a group of ideally around 8 to 12 people together to meet, and there's no fee or anything, but it's business casual, and it's a casually structured event, we'll say, with the purpose of trying to connect them. It's not even about me at the point. I'm just trying to be a person of value, in essence, by bringing them together. I buy the lunch too. They don't know that, but I buy the lunch, and then also trying to help them have some wins and connect with each other and build new relationships that way. And I just think, like we said it earlier, not everything is a sales event, but everything is a relationship event. And at that lunch event, I'm actually trying to think of, what do I do? Do I just get the basket? And what's the challenge that, like, everyone's got to put their phone in the basket? Because that's something that you have to combat. Like, how many lunches do you go to where people are talking and people are on their phone? They're not really fully present. You know what I mean? I think that's really important. So active listening is an incredibly important skill. It reminds me of the story Acres of Diamonds. The story Acres of Diamonds?
Tell me.
It's just the basic premise is, and I may have the details wrong, but it's like this guy grows up on his parents' farm, and every night he dreams about finding a diamond mine and becoming like rich and famous and all this stuff. And it just haunts him his whole childhood. So when his parents pass away or retire, I forget, he inherits the farm. The first thing he does, he just sells it so he can get some money, and he goes, travels the world in search of this diamond mine he's been dreaming about his whole life. And goes around the world, and he finds nothing. He ends up back in his hometown. He's at like the diner. He's broke and a little desolate. He's reading the morning paper. And the people he sold the farm to found diamonds under the soil of the farm, his parents' farm. And the moral of the story is essentially that all of us have, like you mentioned before, I wrote it down. I think it was relationship-based lead gen. I'm like, how do you do that? And you're like, step one, you get your phone and you open your contacts. Step two, you contact your contacts. Step three, you have conversations with these people. Like, it's the whole Acres of Diamonds thing, where it's just so many of us are looking outward for more when we have so much within us already. And that's why I was saying it reminds me of the whole Acres of Diamonds, the whole Acres of Diamonds thing.
Yeah.
You've given such great tips and insights on this. This is really a masterclass on at least the fundamentals of how to get started before they have issues. What do you feel are some of the future trends? There's AI. There's a lot of geopolitical things happening. Where do you see the industry in maybe 5 years from now?
A couple things. So I'm big into automation, of course, just because that's my specialty. But I think that we're going to end up coming back full circle to just human connection. I think that we will become even more sensitive to AI, because it's infiltrating us everywhere. And I'm not a techophobe, right? Obviously. Right. But I think back to the scam calls, right? When they first, the robo calls that we used to get on the phone. And at first it's, oh, that's blatantly obvious, right? But over time it's gotten better and better. And now it's, am I talking to a person or not? And you have to become even more sensitive to it. And I think we're going to refine that, like in our own content and what we're seeing, like you hear those phrases and it's, oh, that was AI written. And so I think the moral of that is we need to be human first, right? And build those relationships. And you mentioned earlier about your event and looking for referrals. I think that's massive in just referring other people to other people. It's not just yourself. I'll go on podcast and people say, do you have anyone to refer? I'm like, absolutely. I have a whole tribe of people, and I'll give them names. Or I was talking to someone the other day and she mentioned people that she knew, and I know a client, or other people, like just introducing people. And the more you can do that and be looking to connect other people, the more people will think of you to connect you. And it just builds that relationship with people. So I think the more we can really just connect with each other genuinely, I think it's going to carry us long term.
I love that. I love that. That is actually something just yesterday, because I said I have this meeting coming up. So I reread or re-review some, I think, my favorite books on relationships and relationship building and stuff. And that was the line in there. I literally wrote that down. It was, you need to give referrals to get referrals. You need to give referrals if you're going to get referrals. How do you get referrals from people? You give them a referral first. Yeah. That's you give to get. I think that's just so proud. This is so, some of this stuff is so ingrained in our biology. Like, we're social creatures. And it was like, hey, I killed this rabbit. And you're like, hey, I found these berries. Do you want to share? And it's just, that's like the fundamental basis of everything. And if I found berries and you, or if I killed a rabbit, you found berries, and I just want your berries and I'm not willing to share my rabbit, you're not going to share your berries with me. Like, it's
last
just,
time.
I mean, I know we're talking about really complex things here and algorithms and rocket science, but yeah, that's so powerful.
The other tip with that, even just thinking the online world, I like to help my friends out. So when my friends post stuff, that the more people comment, whatever, the more it boosts them in the algorithm. So I think just using reciprocity, the more you can give to other people, the more they're going to end up giving back to you. But you don't do it to get things back. You do it just to give, and it will eventually come back to you.
Yeah, I love that. And even just sometimes giving can just be attention. Like, how many your kids, mom, watch, mom, look, watch, watch me, look, I'm standing on one leg, mom. Like, we all want that. People, how many of us spend more time checking out who checked out our stuff? Who gave me attention? I think that's a really powerful thing. This has been such a chock full interview. People may want to listen to this a couple of times to make sure that they get all the goods out of this. Is there anything I haven't asked you so far that I should have asked you about?
The one other thought I had with the relationships with podcasting is it goes both ways. I don't just go on them to try to ultimately sell something. Right. I've hired a ton of people that I've interviewed. Like, that's my network, right? You build that trust. And that's who I look for when I am needing services. I'm needing something. I go to the people that I trust. So it just comes back to, again, relationship is everything in my mind.
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic way to network. I think it's a fantastic tool. If people are interested in podcasting or doing more with their podcasts, or they have questions about what we've discussed and they want to learn more, what are some of the best ways for them to get in touch and follow up with you?
Yep. So I'm going to make it real simple. Just find me on Instagram, Seven Figure Builder, and you can send me a DM. Just send me the word podcast and I will get right back to you. You can also find me. I'm everywhere. I'm on Facebook. I'm at Seven Figure Podcast Builder if you want to see more of the system and all of that. Seven Figure Builder is the show. SevenFigureBuilder.com, sorry, is the show. But yeah, you can just find me on Instagram, Seven Figure Builder. Send me the word podcast and keep it simple.
Is it the number 7 or the word 7?
It is the word 7. That is a great question. Yes.
Got it. So people want to learn more. Where are we here? All right, let me look this up. They need to go to 7, SEVEN figure, FIGURE, builder.com, 7figurebuilder.com, or search for it on almost any platform. And just remember to spell 7 versus use the number 7, right? And of course, you can always look her up by name. Her name, Julie, J-U-L-I, Baranik, B-A-R-A-N-I-K. Once again, that is J-U-L-I, B-A-R-A-N-I-K. Julie, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been such an honor and a pleasure. I feel like you've been so giving and so helpful in this interview. I've got a couple pages of notes. I know that the audience is probably going crazy writing all this down. Thank you for coming and sharing with my audience and I, knowing you have your own podcast, your own following, your own connections, your own direct reports, your own children to take care of. Thank you for coming and sharing with my audience and I, so we can all run our podcast a little bit better.
My pleasure, Daryl. Thank you so much for having me, and to everyone listening. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you listening and look forward to connecting with you too.